Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 20th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 18, the fourth paragraph that begins with, "But the ex-problem drinker." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Liz T., who will be reading the 12 steps, Dana P. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Kara L. and Roz G. The share ID for Thursday, November 19th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 15,818. And for this morning's Friday, November 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 15,823. That's 15823. Our newcomer greeter for today is Wendy B., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Liz T. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T., a recovering compulsive overeater in Minnesota. The 12 steps of OA. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service.
And thank you, Liz T. Dana P., would you read the 12 traditions for us, please?
Good morning, Dana P. here in California. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service and pass.
Thank you, Dana P. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 18, the fourth paragraph that begins with "but the ex-problem drinker." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Kara L. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. But the ex-problem drinker who has found this solution, who is properly armed with the facts about himself, can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. Until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. This is one of our italics paragraphs, meaning pay attention. Though I will have to say, I find that in many of the other paragraphs that are not italics also. And it has a lot in the first few sentences here, you know, some qualifications. It says, you know, ex-problem drinker who's found this solution, not a solution, this solution. So work the steps through this book, right? And armed about the facts about himself, right? So done a fourth step. I've done these, so we have a little understanding of, I have a little understanding of who I am and my, you know, where I'm in self and how I know that a higher power can bring me the solution, right? That is the solution for me today. And being open, honest with a newcomer that's coming in, right? Not glossing over, not just being myself and saying, look, this is who I am. This is the problem I had. And this is the solution that worked for me. I know as a newcomer coming in, I identified with those who are the most vulnerable, who were the most surrendered to who they were and who were of service. You know, that's who I identified with. And I try today to be that, to be what helped me so much. You know, my spiritual awakening, you know, the guide that took me through never made demands, never told me, never had have to's or whatnot, just would simply say, this is what I found worked for me. And that's what I needed. I needed to see what worked for somebody else and to trust in that until I had my spiritual awakening. And I'm ever so grateful for that today. And I'm very excited to hear what everybody else has to say. It's a meaty paragraph. So thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Kara L., for getting us started this morning. So, again, we are on page 18, the fourth paragraph, but the ex-problem drinker. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share who hasn't shared in the past 3 days?
Christina J.
Christina J. Roz G. Roz G.
Eileen B.
Eileen B.
Renee C.
Renee C.
Leslie M.
Leslie M. Anyone else?
Cherry KB.
Cherry KB. Okay, let's stop there. I have Christina J, Roz G, Eileen B, or Irene B, sorry, Renee C, Leslie M, and Cherry KB. So go ahead, please, Christina J.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service, moderator, and all the others who moderate and take care of this meeting. My name is Christina J. I'm from the state of Washington. There was a show in the 50s called Dragnet, and they used to always say, just the facts, ma'am. And that's what stood out for me today. What are the facts that I'm soaked with from my bone marrow to the surface of my skin that will possibly help others with this disease? Well, first of all, it took me a while to become aware of these facts. I was chasing every solution under the sun, including OA. I was involved in finding and enacting those solutions because I'm a controller, manipulator, and a fixer, and I know best. So because of that, I never stumbled upon, nor could I see that the solution is a simple word called surrender. Not to a diet plan or a food plan or an exercise routine or a rigid way of living that involved white-knuckling through life on every level, but a surrender to something bigger than myself that I could turn to in all of my problems, and I mean all. And, of course, this was a concept I could never, ever see or fathom until the food beat me to a broken, crawling person who finally was able to turn away from the donuts and walk away, sad and beaten down, knowing to the core that I could not go there again. And this, my friends, was the true step one for me, my true surrender, that I am powerless over food and all of my life is unmanageable. And until I'm willing to go through the pain of not picking up that entire box of donuts and taking them to my office when no one was around and no one would have even noticed they were gone, which is they didn't really care, which was like a holiday binge for a compulsive overeater, until I could walk away by myself and feel the painful surrender, I had not taken step one. So we discussed the facts that I am saturated with, which boiled down to I cannot pick up any of the food that I discovered triggers me, or I'm off and running again. One bite is okay. If I eat protein with sugar, it's okay. Stealing food in people's desks, from people's desks, sitting in parking lots, eating bags and boxes, eating the food I bought for my husband, throwing the food away, covering it with something, and then picking it out, washing it up, and eating it again, sitting in bed with horrid acid brain reflux and brain fog, depression, confusion, blaming everyone else for my eating problems, and the reason my career never took off, fear that I'm not good enough, fear that I'll never do what I wanted to do, or that I'll never have what I want in life. I mean, the list goes on. And these are only some of the facts of the deadly disease used to steal every moment of my life. So this is what I get to share with others, and gently at first, because some of this might blow people away, but maybe not for the true compulsive overeater. These are the things we relate to, and that we don't have to be ashamed to share with each other, the facts that we have kept hidden down inside of ourselves in a box. It's like opening Pandora's box, let it out, let it air out, and become free. So I hope this has helped someone, and Christina J. from the state of Washington, if you want to do an outreach, God bless everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Roz G., you're up, followed by Irene B. Go ahead, Roz.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And if you are offended by profanity, put the phone down for a couple of minutes. But what I see in this paragraph today is that you cannot bullshit a bullshitter. And you can't con a con. And my disease is full of bullshit. And I'll stop now. Okay. And I want to tell I want to rationalize and I want to figure out and I want to find any kind of excuse to eat what I want to eat and do what I want to do. And when I am working with a sponsor who is armed with the facts about themselves and has been there and done that, I don't get to throw the load of BS. I'm called on it. And I appreciate that. So I do have religious leanings and I do practice one, but sometimes I need to be told the facts as was presented in the earlier share. And the facts are that I want to eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it, and I don't want to experience the consequences that come with it. And, you know, it depends on the style of the sponsor, but some sponsors will call on it right away. Some will just let you go ahead and figure it out for yourself. Both ways work. And I'm grateful for all kinds of people in this program. I'm grateful for the gentle ones. I'm grateful for the straightforward ones. I'm grateful for the teachers. It's kind of like all the gifts that are brought, that people possess, that bring to these meetings, because there's all types. And, you know, we're attracted to and we're brought together with those who are armed with the facts, depending on the style that they bring, which can bring about a recovery that no other person would understand. And as has been shared in the past, you know, couple of days on all the meetings, I've been to everybody, just like everybody else. I tried the diets. I went to therapy. I saw nutritionists, which are helpful, but not like a sponsor who's been there and done that. It's just the way it is. It's reality. And this program has taught me how to deal with life on life's terms through the mouths of those who have been there and done that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Irene B., it's your turn, followed by Renee C.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a gratefully recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. My heart's desire is that I will be a beacon of light, a glimpse of hope to the most hopeless of the hopeless of the hopeless, because that's where I lived for 39 and a half years or longer, because I was bulimic for 40 years. And during that period, within a week of becoming bulimic, I was trapped and there was no way out. My prison was all powerful, and 4 inpatient and 4 outpatient treatment centers, over 35 therapists, and no one could help me out of my prison. And I gave up hope. There was no hope for me. I was always going to be bulimic. I was never, ever, ever going to be able to overcome. And every so often, I would go back into therapy, hoping that maybe an eating disorders therapist, outpatient, would help. And, you know, I would get to a point and I would get stuck and I couldn't get past that point. So I learned to say, okay, this is where I stop, because it doesn't do any good. It's not worth frustrating you. It's a waste of your time, my time, and my money. So I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I cannot be helped. So that was my story. And then a miracle happened, and I can't get into that now because that takes too long. But I was always hoping that all of that I went through would have been worth something, that I would be able to help someone because I desperately looked for help and there was no help to be had for a bulimic like me. And I have to say that I'm disappointed that it seems like my experience doesn't seem to help anyone. And, you know, and that's my ego. But I just wanted to say that my experience was atrocious. The prison was horrific and there was no way out. And no one could help. And I'm here to say that there is help. And I don't know where that help comes from. I don't know how it happens. But all I know is that once God gave me the miracle, I found the program. And the program has enabled me to keep my sobriety for over 3.5 years, and it's the miracle of miracles of miracles. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. And Renee C., good morning. You are up, followed by Leslie M. Star one to unmute, Renee.
Sorry. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, thanks. Hi, I'm Renee C. from Columbia, South Carolina. I've only been in the program for a couple of months. And this paragraph brought up the idea that connection with another is one of the greatest benefits of the program. Being an addict, I didn't think anyone could understand what I was feeling. I was lonely most of my life holding on to this dark secret. And finding someone in a program I can talk with, and hearing that they know what I'm dealing with was amazing. It was a connection without fear, unlike any other. With the boundaries down, I could learn about my disease and ways that I functioned, unlike everyone else is saying the other ways we've decided to try to fix our problems. I can reach for help and hopefully eventually help others this way. I'm grateful and hope everyone has an abstinent day. I pass.
Thank you, Renee C. Good morning, Leslie M. You're up, followed by Sherry KB.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thank you for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And as our first reader shared, you know, the fact that this is in italics makes it very important. And not that those that aren't in italics aren't important also, but this is a key focus. You know, so it says the ex-problem drinker who has found a solution and who is properly armed with facts about himself will generally win the confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. And that's always what I've experienced in OA. I certainly know that now for today that, you know, I can go in there armed with facts about myself. I don't have to, you know, tell anyone else what to do. I can simply say, this is what has worked for me, you know, and which is exactly how this book has been written, is this is what worked for us. You know, we hope you try it. You know, I hope you try it. I used to come in with a holier than thou, and I think part of that was, well, number one, not being recovered, but number two, it was like I was trying to convince myself that this is what I should do. And now that I know that, you know, that I have the actual fact of being recovered, there is this deep knowing of, you know, that hard sell doesn't work. You know, it never worked with me and it hasn't worked with anyone else. But my sharing, as this book does, is this is what I have done. This is a fact. You know, I have to be armed with the facts about myself. I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. And if, as long as I can convey that to someone else, perhaps they can identify in. You know, and I'm very grateful, you know, I'm so grateful to have had, you know, my past. I've been around a long time. I've been in OA for 30 years, and I have a little bit more than 2.5 years of being entirely abstinent and recovered. And I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, but I'm hoping that I can convey it to others. And, you know, the other thing that the book always says is that I may not be able to help everybody, but there are people that will hear my story. And perhaps I'll never know if I've helped them or not, but that's not the point. The point is that I have to try and carry this message. And that includes sharing at meetings, calling newcomers, calling, you know, making outreach calls, you know, sponsoring all of the service that we do for each other. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. And Sherry KB, before we take you, just a reminder to everyone that we are on page 18, the fourth paragraph, but the ex-problem drinker, and I'll be kicking some more names after Sherry KB. So good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California, a very grateful and recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen O, and Team Friday, and welcome newcomers and old-timers. I as mentioned before, you know, italicized is pay attention, you know, this is really important. So what jumps out at me is who has found this solution. So what is this solution? This solution is, you know, you can get recovered too if you follow the directions in this book, if you let somebody, a step guide, a sponsor, whatever you want to call them, walk you through this. The facts about me are that I am a true compulsive overeater. I have a threefold illness, a physical allergy, a mental obsession, and a spiritual malady. I can tell you that I have tried so many decades of stuff that I tried to do it my way, and it never worked. I had to really look at what it meant by that physical, mental, and spiritual. And I love that it says this solution. So this solution is the 12 steps. If you're a true compulsive overeater, whatever you label yourself, then this is the book for you. The steps are for you. If you read this book through and through, it gives you incredible directions. It'll change your life. You'll understand yourself more that it's not a moral issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's a physical and mental and spiritual issue. What I love about it is if you really want to learn more is that read chapter 7 starting on page 89, working with others, helps you understand how to help somebody else. I mean, anybody can do this. I've heard on this line years ago when I first got on it, 2013, somebody said Mickey Mouse could take you through this book. But Mickey Mouse had to be a compulsive overeater who could understand and give you the facts about their own life, about what they've been through, and how I've recovered and how I've come out through on the other side. I heard this too on this line was that, you know, a compulsive overeater is down in a hole. And they said, can somebody please help me? I need a way out. I don't know how to get out. And a priest, minister, and rabbi comes by and says, gee, I'm so sorry, we'll pray for you. I'm so sorry, we can't help you. A doctor comes by and says, here, I'll just throw down a prescription, try to do this. And then a friend walks by and says, you know, you're such a pretty girl. You could, if you just lost weight, your life would be great. You're so smart, why don't you figure this out? But nobody understood a real, true, compulsive overeater. But the person who has the facts about themselves can go down the hole and say, here, come with me, I know the way out. And the 12 steps are the way out. And I pass, thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, we are on page 18, the fourth paragraph, but the ex-problem drinker. And if you have not shared in the last three days, please give me your name. What was your name?
Sarit L. from Montreal.
Sarit L.
Linnea B.
Linnea B.
Yep.
Anyone else?
Ann B.
Sarah K. from Cleveland.
Sarah K. Okay, I have Sarit L., Linnea B., Ann B., Sarah K. Anyone else?
Sherry Josie.
Is that Karen Josie?
Sherry Josie. Thanks.
Okay, we will stop there. So go ahead, please, Sharit L, followed by Linnea B.
Hi, it's Sharit L, recovered from Montreal. Okay, that noise is not for me. I'm going to continue anyways. Thank you all so much for your service in this meeting. The ex-problem drinker has found the solution can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic. And it's telling me that why my whole life I couldn't face my family members. I couldn't talk to my friends. I tried to talk to my sister and explain my problem. I tried to, and I was too ashamed to tell my brothers and to tell my husband. I couldn't do that. And yet, as soon as I found someone in these rooms, and the understanding that came, the compassion, that warmth, it flew right into that conversation. And it takes one to know one. And I am so much more open. I feel like when I talk to people in these rooms, they get me from the start, whereas I have to go explaining to my husband, who is a normal eater. My son can take 5 minutes to eat one slice of a melon, not even a candy, a melon. And I'm blown away. Like, they are just different than me. They're wired differently than me. And so I so fast, you know, I can be won over by my, you know, fellows in these rooms. And that's what I needed. Someone who stood in my shoes and is now on the other side. He didn't do any ranting, you know, and there was no frothy emotional appeal. It was someone who had depth and weight. And it's like, thank God, until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. I could not sit across from my therapist and get anything from her because she didn't understand me. I could only accept what I heard from you guys because you told me that you binged exactly like me. You knew my pain and you had and shared the same exact story. And that's when I could finally pick up that same toolkit. And what I want to add here also is, like, this has nothing to do with the food anymore. It has nothing to do with the food. Once the food is down, there is so much to uncover. And I am walking through, I would say, like, the deepest, darkest secrets are coming out, and God wants me to push through and look at it so deeply, and it's so uncomfortable, but I'm willing today. I'm willing to grow up, to show up, and to be the better mother, wife, spouse, daughter. You know, I'm committed to a different me today. And that's what's amazing. It's all from these steps. You know, it's like I'm willing to call my mother-in-law and father-in-law and talk to them more, you know, than I was doing that before, because I am going to be a better daughter-in-law. I'm showing respect where I wasn't doing that as well before. I'm going to be a better driver today. You know, these concepts are affecting my life in so many areas. And thank you, God. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sharit L. Linnea B., you're up, followed by Ann B.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. My name is Linnea B. I'm in Minnesota, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. What a beautiful paragraph. You know, and when I think about the zillion, it seems like, obviously that's an exaggeration, but it doesn't feel like an exaggeration. The zillions of different things I have tried over the years to find relief from addiction. You know, and the kind of shame and the fear built by trying to rely on myself, between the shame and the fear, you know, I just wanted to die. You know, I couldn't kill myself because I have children. But I just, you know, wanted to die. And then I came on a vision for you. And what happened? I heard other people talking about who they were, how they felt, and I could identify. And then I heard them talking about a solution that I trusted.
and a solution that I knew by listening to them and from my own experience would work and could work. Obviously, and it has worked. And this idea that until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. My mind was so closed out of fear and shame, just snapped completely shut. And this is the miracle of this solution, you know, that it can open a mind that like that, that was so closed. And just even a little crack, just even a little crack. And, you know, and the thing about, you know, speaking heart to heart rather than mind to mind. Oh, the beauty of this is because, well, heart to heart is what touches my soul. And I'm so grateful to the people that are in my God squad that I can speak with. I can be helpful as well as be helped by. And we are walking shoulder to shoulder. Oh, and, you know, in the sunlight of the Spirit. I mean, there is hope. You know, just so, so much hope. And that's what this whole chapter shouts, you know, that there's hope. It's not perfection. It's not a prescribed, you know, this is, you know, if you look, let's see, what do I want to say? It's not rigid. It's very open for each individual. So, so grateful to be here. And Linnea B. in Minnesota, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Linnea B. And Ann B., you are up, followed by Sarah K.
Hi, this is Ann B., compulsive overeater. And I'm in Westchester County, New York. And I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. And this paragraph reminds me of how defensive I used to get when before program. And if anybody mentioned my weight or my eating, I would just get so unpleasant and defensive and angry. And that still happens to me. Every time I go, for instance, to a OA retreat or an OA convention, I start out with that defensive attitude. And it still happens to me, as it did at the beginning of program, that if I sit there for a while, I start feeling good. I start feeling comfortable. I stop feeling defensive. I start feeling like this is a great place to be. And the reason is that people are not talking to me about my eating. They're talking to me about their eating. And they're not trying to control me. They're just telling their story. And that's a big theme in the big book. You know, we tell our stories. We don't try to control people. We don't try to tell people what to do. We say what worked for us. And that continues to work for me. You know, and it's interesting to me, after 16 years in program, I'll still go into you know, a virtual convention or in person, whatever, and I'll still get that defensive, you know, and I still, it lets go when I sit there. So I'll pass.
Thank you, Ann B. Sarah K., it is your turn, followed by Sherry Jo C. Star one to unmute, Sarah. Okay, maybe we lost Sarah. Sherry Jo C., are you ready to go?
Hi, this is Sherry Jo C. Good morning, compulsive eater, recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. I hope my phone's working okay. I was actually going to switch, but I guess I don't have time. So hopefully this is okay.
This is fine. Thanks, Sherry.
Yeah. Okay, great. So what I love about this paragraph is that it starts out with the ex-problem drinker. I love that. you know, when I hear the word recovered, when I first heard the word recovered on this line, I too was surprised. And now I love it so much. And the way I think of it is in this way. I am an ex-problem compulsive eater. I don't do it anymore. I haven't done it for 30 years. I think of it like a town that I used to live in that was total hell. And I never want to go back to that town again. And I never have to go back to that town again. And I'm so grateful. The other thing that strikes me with this paragraph is this idea of how we are uniquely qualified to help as ex-compulsive eaters. So at 50 years old, I fell in love with a man with three children. And within a couple of years, because of issues with their mother, they came to live with us full time. When I found myself surprisingly the mother of three children, never having had children, do you think I called other women who were in my place? No. I called other women who'd been mothers for years, who had it locked and loaded, and they saved my butt. And it's the same with this program. We are uniquely qualified. Even if we have a day, a week of abstinence, we could help the person who doesn't have any. And the thing that I also love about this program, I think the reason that folks in the program won my trust so quickly was because they told me things that were counterintuitive, but when I did them, they worked. And, you know, one example is my sponsor when I was in self-pity in the beginning. My sponsor used to say to me, she'd say, well, you've had it worse than some and better than others. What are you going to do about it? And no one had ever talked to me like that before. And I just was like kind of shocked. And then I thought, she's – and then I could let go of the self-pity and I could get into doing something about my situation to change it. You know, I mean, the problem centers in the mind. The eating is but a symptom. I mean, for me, I had to put down the food because if I didn't – it was just a wrecking ball in my life. I could never get to the other stuff. But once I was able to follow a plan of abstinence and stick to it no matter what and be committed to it no matter what, then I was able to get to all this other stuff that had been creating the need for me to seek the ease and comfort of compulsive eating. And, you know, the rest of it is a work in progress for my whole life, but that's why I keep coming back. And that's why I listen so intently to all of you, because you tell me things sometimes that are counterintuitive, but when I do them, they work. And another example is my sponsor used to tell me, she said, if you want to be... Thank you. She'd say, if you want to be angry, it's just going to make you angrier. And I've learned in this program that, yeah, I can be as angry or as resentful as I want to be if I want to be miserable. My misery can be refunded at any moment. But it's when I let go of those things that I really start to heal and change. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Sherry Josie. Sarah,
From Cleveland, okay,
go
Ohio.
Ahead, go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, thank you. I just like to say that I thank God that I have the sponsor I have who caught me in a lie about abstinence. And I was horrified and I thought, who am I kidding? I'm like a liar too. And so I thought, you know, it's a blessing from God that I have the sponsor who doesn't take any BS, as that woman said. And I thank God that I twice now in the assisted living place where I live have gone up to people on the staff and said, oh, do you have any this? And they had that. And I don't eat that. Those are red light foods for me. And I gave them back to the people who gave them to me and walked away. And I thought, thank God. And we say in Hebrew, Baruch Hashem. Blessed is the name that helped me walk away from that situation. And my sponsor is the one who helped me walk away from that situation. And I'm armed with the facts about all the diets that I tried. And I have a friend who's sick as a dog on some diet that she's on. And I don't know what to say to her, but I just shared with her that she could come on a vision through you with me. And so with that, I pass, and with that, I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Kay.
Okay,
thank you.
We have time for a couple more shares on page 18, the fourth paragraph, but the ex-problem drinker, if you haven't shared Wednesday or Thursday and you'd like to share on this paragraph, I will take your name.
Wendy PB.
Wendy PB. Thank you, Wendy. Anyone else? Anyone want to do a very short share after Wendy? Water is warm. Hop in. Okay, well, let's go with you, Wendy PB. Go ahead, please.
Jody M.
And Jody M. Okay, Jody, I'll take you after Wendy. Go ahead, Wendy.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Wendy PB, and I am absent today by the grace of God in this wonderful program, Compulsive Overeater. I love this paragraph, and what I just wanted to share about it was I've only been abstinent for about 3.5 months. And when I was first getting abstinent, I would get hungry at night, you know, because I wasn't eating all day nonstop like I'd been used to doing. So I called my sponsor and I said, hey, I'm hungry at night. You know, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I can plan a snack, another snack. And she said, yeah, you'll be okay. And I was so shocked. And I thought, how dare she? And then I thought, hey, she knows. And she did, you know, and we talked about it. And she said, yeah, you know, your body's used to this other way of eating, and give it some time and it'll pass. And it did. And I'm so grateful for that, because she keeps me honest. And, you know, if anyone else had said that to me, I would have just blown them off and said, oh, they don't understand. You know, I need this because some reason, I don't know, I'll make up a reason. But she knew better. And that's what we can do for each other. And that's why we keep coming back. And I'll keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy PB. And Jody M., go ahead, please.
Thank you. Jody M. from New Jersey. This is my first time sharing, and I'm not even sure what I want to say, except I wanted to put myself out there, which is a big thing for me because I tend to isolate and think I'm better than everybody else. I hope one day to be that ex-problem compulsive overeater. I have a sponsor and I've been working the steps and I've been in and out of programs for at least 11 or 12 years. It's not been a simple journey for me, which I'm sure it's not for anybody. And throwing myself in completely, which I think is what I need to do to really get the benefits, has not been easy. But I listen to everybody's voices, and I appreciate everybody's shares and everybody's vulnerabilities, and it means a lot to me. It helps me to feel a little bit less isolated, more normal. So I thank you all, and yes, thanks.
Thank you, Jody M. We have about 2 minutes. Would anyone like to do a two-minute share?
Can you hear me, moderator?
Yes.
Oh, it's Mary B.
Oh, go ahead, Mary B. You have about 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Please let me know
Actually, I only have about a minute and a half, so go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
Thank you, moderator. As I haven't shared in a long, long time because, well, just because it's hard to get in, but that's cool. I love it. I love all the voices. I love A Vision for You. I don't know what to say. I've just got so much tears of gratitude on my right now, and so grateful. And I too was one of the suffering, even in program for 34 years. I was a chronic relapser. I was suffering from this disease,
And by some miracle, a lady here in Arizona gave me the number of a vision for you almost 3.5 years ago. And I've got almost three and a half years of abstinence. And I'm so grateful. And I love being a sponsor. I love being a part of this fellowship. And I love making the outreach calls. I love that you guys are there for me every freaking morning, whether I like it or not. I'm here, I'm on the line, and I'm listening. I love you all. Thank you for your service. Continue to do what you're doing because you are helping. We don't even know the number of people that we're helping in this thing. And thanks again. Thanks for letting me share, moderator. That's all I got. Pass.
Thank you, Mary B. And thank you so much, everyone who shared this morning. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Roz G., would you please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.